Good to see my fellow partner Casey Orr back in the Optimize You studio.
You know, I feel like I was just here a few days ago, probably because I was. You had me co-host your home radio this weekend.
And here I am back again. Yeah, so see how much fun you have?
Man, I think it's cool that you've doubled my pay. Because two times nothing. You know what? Might as well triple it.
At the next break, let's grab you another monster.
There you go.
So how was the NASCAR off weekend?
I was good. Got to play a little golf, so that was a lot of fun. It's still very hot, even though we teed off in the morning. Did some pool time with Evelyn, you know, went to Mass, didn't see you there. But other than that, it's good weekend all around. School starts back in just a few days.
Which one did you go to? Which Mass?
Saturday.
Yeah, but which one?
4 o'clock.
Oh, okay. I missed you. I was at the 7.
Yeah, they don't have one on 7.
Or 7:30 maybe.
Not there either. So, not at all. But school starts back this weekend. Registration was today, and Wednesday, back at it. Get back in the routine. I'll have a fifth grader.
Wednesday starts school?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's all of a sudden, like, you feel like the summertime page is turning. We're not done yet. It's still hot out there, but school's starting back, which means fall's right around the corner. Football is kicking off soon. Man, it's the good time is here.
Mm. It is hard to believe that little girl's in the fifth grade.
Tell me about it.
Man, no wonder your goatee's getting grayer.
It just keeps on.
Of course, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, we got Alex Hayden with MRN Radio joining us here in a little bit. But I have been enjoying watching the Olympics. To my surprise, I have decided that I like the Summer Olympics better than I do the Winter Olympics. I've really gotten into the basketball, gotten into the volleyball, both in men's and women's, gotten into the men and women's beach volleyball. But I like the indoor volleyball where, you know, they play
fast-paced.
Yeah, where it's, you know, just slamming and heavy, hard serves and all that kind of stuff. And then I've watched a little bit of ping pong, believe it or not.
Table tennis. Or table tennis. Official rule, yes.
Yes. I can't watch it for a long period of time, but I find that pretty fascinating.
You know what? It's crazy because all of these events, you know, we're familiar with a lot of them, like track and field, the 100-yard dash and swimming and all that. But you do have a lot of these events that, you know, we don't see on TV a lot. And then you have people that have dedicated their entire lives up to this point at getting good at said event. So you're watching it played at a really high level in table tennis. Or ping pong, as we call it. That's kind of one of those, like, you cannot watch someone that's not good at it. You talk about paint dry. That's what that would be. But you got these people just absolutely slamming it as hard as they can back and forth. And you're just like, how? How did you get so good? It's pretty cool.
I grew up around table tennis. I grew up around ping pong.
Foosball, too.
My grandfather was real big into ping pong. He lived up in a town called Belle Vernon, Pennsylvania, about 50 miles outside of Pittsburgh. And at one point, he was even the chairman of the state ping pong association.
Man.
So he was really into it.
He took it serious.
Oh, yeah. He would compete in some of these big-time ping pong tournaments. And I remember when he would come down, him and my grandmother would come down and visit a couple of times a year. My dad always would put the ping pong table up in the garage. And then we would start having, you know, ping pong tournaments and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I grew up around it quite a bit.
So your grandpa just come in and wreck everybody, huh?
Yeah, he was pretty good, no question about it. Did you ever play much growing up?
We had ping pong. Did you? We had one of those things that you could convert any table into a ping pong.
Because you very seldom ever see anybody have ping pong.
I don't think it's a
table
big deal
at their house.
Foosball used to be a big deal in the bars. You don't ever see that anymore, really.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Wiffle ball. We played a lot of wiffle ball.
Yeah, we did that as well. But think about the last time you went to somebody's house and they said, "Hey, let's go play some ping pong." I don't even have any friends or know of anyone that has a ping pong
table. I can't even think of someone that would have a ping pong table. If I went to someone's house and they said, "We're playing ping," like beer pong. A lot of people still play beer pong, but I don't know about ping pong.
Yeah.
But so Sean, speaking of the Olympics, would you like to know the latest medal count?
Give us that report.
Actually, United States is not leading the way. It is leading the way in the most medals.
The most medals.
But not the most gold medals. Right now, that is currently being held by China. China has 21 gold medals. We have 20 gold medals. Overall, though, we have 78 medals. They have 53. What's better, to have more gold medals or just more medals overall?
I would think more medals overall.
Just, yeah, I would think so.
Would be my preference. I mean, there's no question. It's good to have those gold ones because that means you came in first place. However, I think the one that has the most medals showing the most consistency is more impressive to me.
Yeah, it just shows their program's really rocking.
Is it China that's still leading the most in gold medals?
Yeah, 21-20. Now, you got to think basketball and some of these others that, I mean, we're shoe-ins to win gold in those. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll catch up. Australia's number
and,
three
and
right
men's
now.
Volleyball, it looks like we're heading that direction.
We're pretty solid in that. Is that what you
Yeah, they're
watching?
Going into the semifinals after this afternoon, and the way they're playing, I think the chances are good.
All right, so top five countries in medal count, China one, or gold medals, United States two, Australia three, France four, and Great Britain fifth. Mm-hmm. It's a little shocking to you, or is that about right?
No, I think that's about right. Is Russia not competing in the Olympics?
They were not allowed to compete in this Olympics because of their aggression towards Ukraine.
Gotcha.
You're not allowed to start a war and then get to come to the Olympics.
Well, good for the Olympics.
Yeah. Let's see. I think Canada, I was a little shocked. They're so far down. They're at 11th. In Germany, usually Germany shows up pretty good. They're sitting mm-hmm. 10th. The Netherlands, man, Italy, Japan, South Korea, they're all in the top 10.
Yeah. I've seen cycling. I've seen skateboarding a couple of times. But I have yet to see breakdancing. That was new this year.
How do you score that?
I don't know. I've not seen it yet, so I'm not sure how it's done.
One thing I don't like are like the subjective scoring systems. Like in basketball, if the ball goes in, it's mm-hmm. points. If it doesn't, you missed it. But some of the, like, you know, ice dancing and, you know, floor gymnastics and all that, I don't know. When you have judges, I don't like that.
Yeah. But that, what sport doesn't have judges?
Well, not like normal sports where you have scores. But, like, you know, I don't. You don't want, like, the Russian judge to screw it all up or to them not think your dance was as beautiful as the next one. Like diving, you know, Olympic diving, they get scored based on some arbitrary system. So all that, I just not as big a fan.
Gotcha. Let's talk for just a moment what some of the NASCAR drivers have been doing over this going on 2 week break. Tyler Reddick just got married.
Well, that's a pretty extreme thing to do.
Just got
during the Olympics.
Married to Alexa De Leon. They already have a son. Their son is 3 or 4 years old, maybe even older than that, closer to 5. And so they just got married this past weekend. I heard Tyler Reddick make a statement on one of the NASCAR media broadcasts today that they had a McDonald's fries truck come to the wedding. So
that's pretty awesome.
They had a dinner and all this kind of stuff and had all this alcohol and stuff being served, and then everybody was served large fries later in the evening, and he was talking about how cool it is and what a big hit it was, because by the time everybody had gotten that point, everybody was really looking forward to the french fries.
I would imagine you get a little tipsy and then some good old salty McDonald's fries would go well.
Yeah.
If you can check out on X, or formerly known as Twitter or whatever, Bubba Wallace and Denny Hamlin were all dressed up. They were there. I believe Bubba Wallace was one of his groomsmen.
I think you're right. Yeah, so they were there. Also, Daniel Suarez got married over
Dang.
The Olympic holiday.
Is that just the thing to
break?
Do?
Yes, he married Julia Piquet, and they had a beautiful wedding, it looks like, in a very tropical destination. Kyle Busch, I sent you a photograph of Mrs. Busch last week. She and the family visited Rome, Italy. And from some of the Instagram posts I saw Mrs. Busch post, it didn't look like Kyle was having the best of fun.
Yeah, I think Mama is having a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Kyle's probably can't enjoy himself because the whole time he's thinking, I got four races to make this playoffs. Like, and all she wants to do is take me to another museum.
And apparently her parents and other family members also went along on the vacation. So there's a lot of more things I can think of wanting to do than tour all the stuff in Rome, Italy during my 2 week break.
And you know what? It would be fun. I would have a blast going and doing that. I love history and, you know, seeing all the old churches and going to museums would be a lot of fun, but it may,
gain it all the way.
If you think, well, yeah, you're going to eat good when you're over
all
there.
That pasta.
If you think about it, it may work in Kyle Busch's favor though, because he is going to be so excited to get back to work after spending all that time with his extended family. He's going to be like, my God, get me to the track. Let's go win a race. Instead of like, oh, I don't want to leave the beach. You know, there's you got to look at it. Like he was like, I'm so miserable. I want to go win a race.
Yeah. And some other drivers that had a great time. Joey Logano and his family went to the beach. He posted some pretty cool pictures on Instagram. Riley Hurst visited southern France on his break. Jeb Burton went to Jamaica. Looked like he was having a good time. Kyle Weatherman did a trip to Alaska. They're even wearing jackets on that trip. And Parker Klingerman visited Saint Tropez. Are you familiar with that?
Saint Tropez?
Yeah.
I'm not.
I have never heard of that. So he posted that on his Instagram. So those were the drivers that at least went public with what they did during the Olympic break. So if you were a driver, would you go public with what you were doing on the Olympic break?
Depends on what kind of season I've had. If I've had a season to where I think people will go, oh, awesome, have fun, enjoy the break, I would probably post stuff. But if I had the kind of season like Kyle Busch, where everyone's going to be like, you need to get back to the track and practice.
Yeah.
I would not. Hey, one guy that didn't have a great time over the break, Christopher Bell's crew chief Adam Stevens, suffered an injury while on vacation and had surgery to repair both knees. So, Chris Sherwood, Bell's car chief, will serve as the crew chief for Christopher Bell the next few races. So, he did something bad enough to hurt both knees. That is not the way I would like to have my 2 week break.
Man, what do you think that was? You have any?
I mean, you fell down of some sort, I'm guessing, yeah. But who knows?
And it sounds like it was probably painful both ways.
Yeah, I'm sure.
With the fall and the surgery.
Oh, man. Yeah. So he said he won't be there. He had surgery. It went well. And he thanks everybody, but didn't explain what exactly happened.
All right. Well, we want to thank all of you out there today for joining us. We are presented to you by OptimizeU. You can find them online at OptimizeUChattanooga.com. Go and check out their website. Also follow them on Facebook and Instagram. They can get you optimized as well as everybody in your family, but especially you, for if you're a man out there, an adult man or lady, check them out online. You'll be able to get some good information and see if they have a program that is for you. Also, too, when we come back, we're going to look ahead in some of the 2025 Cup season. We're going to talk about a few of the races that have already been announced for next year. And talk a little bit more about some silly season as it continues. And then a little bit later, we'll have Alex Hayden from MRN Radio join us. We've got all that and more as we continue. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
We'll be back faster than the last lap at Talladega. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Listen up, Chattanooga. Mandy Livingston, General Manager for Optimize U. Have you been feeling like you aren't the man or woman you used to be? Have you been told it's normal and comes with age? Well, I'm here to put that talk to rest. At Optimize U, we are a hormone replacement center that specializes in both men and women's hormones. We believe that normal is not optimal. Find us online at OptimizeUCenters.com.
Now NASCAR is cranking up, and Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr will get you right in the middle of it. Tune in Mondays at 6 p.m. for Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105, a production of Whitfield Media Group.
Join Ed Jones and Clint Powell each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Vital Health Radio, presented by Vascular Institute and Vein Clinic on 98.1 The Lake. It's a radio show about living a healthy life, a production of the Whitfield Media Group.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalafin Road and I-75.
Love some fresh Mexican food? Do you like to eat healthy? I've got the place for you. Check out Dos Bros Fresh Mexican Grill. They offer tacos, healthy bowls, burritos, nachos, salads, and quesadillas. They're located at 2396 Lifestyle Way, Chattanooga, right behind the Embassy Suites at Hamilton Place. If you're a student and need a job while in school, Dos Bros is now hiring and offering a sign-on bonus. See store for details.
More NASCAR ahead with Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield. Now, back to the show. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
I'm not afraid of the war you've come to wage against my sins. I'm not okay, but I can try my best to just pretend.
Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 105. Sean Whitfield, Casey Orr, each and every Monday, getting you up to speed on all the NASCAR news and info you need to know. And that is all that we've had the last 2 weeks is news and info, because there have been no NASCAR races because of the Olympics. NASCAR has taken a couple weeks off, but don't worry, they do return to the track this Sunday, August 11th at Richmond Raceway for the Cookout 400. That is coming your way at 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. So a Sunday evening race for the Sprint Cup Series. We go to Richmond, then to Michigan, then to Daytona, and the regular season ends September 1st at Darlington before the playoffs. So you've got four races: Richmond, Michigan, Daytona, and Darlington before the 2024 playoffs begins.
Speaking of Daytona, NASCAR has, NASCAR has already finalized the deal with Daytona International Speedway, and Daytona International Speedway has released several weeks back that the Daytona 500 was going to be on February 16th, which historically has always been when the Daytona 500 has happened. It's President's Day weekend. However, we talked a little bit about this, I think a couple of weeks ago, about the fact that the NFL was considering going to an 18-game regular season schedule. That was going to, if they did that, that was going to put the Super Bowl the same weekend as the Daytona 500. That is continuing to unfold. The NFL Players Association and NFL had discussions, and it was stated, it is a very high level was quoted over potentially adding the 18th regular season. And this came from the executive director, Loyal Powell. So it looks like it's going to happen. It's going to happen one way or the other, whether it happens in 2025 or 2026. NASCAR is going to have to embrace it. There's no way they can go up against the NFL. Or they could take the attitude, if you're going to be the man, you got to beat the man. But that's just not a fight you want to have, is it?
Well, you know, and listen, the players are going to end up voting this through, because that's one more game. And the way that the NFL works, you're paid per game. So they get another game check. It's not like they take their, you know, initial salary or whatever, and then, you know, divide that one less. No, everybody's going to make more money, which is the whole point. And then, of course, the owners get to charge more because they're going to have one more game possibly at their stadium, or at least one every 2 years. And then, of course, the TV networks gets to make a ton of money because they've got one more Sunday of football to broadcast. I'm wondering, is this a NASCAR decision or is this a TV partner decision? Because quite frankly, if I'm Fox, and let's say it's the year I don't have the Super Bowl, do I want to put up my number one program? No, not at all. Like everyone watches that. Why would I go up against it? To me, it wouldn't care what NASCAR wanted to do. So NASCAR will probably do whatever their broadcast partner tells them to do, which will be, hey, let's either move it to Saturday or let's move it to the next week down the line.
I don't think NASCAR has any choice but to move it to the week after.
I think you got to move it unless you want to do something, you know, try to make it an even bigger weekend. I don't know.
I mean, the NFL is going to get their way about it. I would say that in the meetings that the NFL has had with the Players Association and the TV networks, do you think the Daytona 500s ever even came up in conversation?
Probably not.
I would think so, too.
If I'm NASCAR, I want to piggyback on. I don't want to challenge. I want to ride the coattails of the Super Bowl.
I wonder what network's going to carry the Super Bowl in 2025.
I would have to look. They've already been divvied up for the foreseeable future. Now,
because you know if it's Fox, that's already a given what's going to happen. Since Fox carries the Daytona 500. But I think it's already a given what's going to happen anyway, but it's just interesting to see the level of control that the NFL has on the world of sports.
Yeah, listen, football, and especially NFL football, is, and it's sometimes it's hard for us in the South to remember this because we love college, but that's kind of very much a Texas and Southern thing, is for college football to be that important. NFL rules the roost in all sports, and it's not really even that close. Second place isn't that close, is what I'm trying to. So yes, they are going to make the money. They print money right now, and you'll have networks. Why do you think they're adding more games?
Yeah,
it's more money.
I wonder what that one extra game is worth to all the team owners across the country, all this TV partners, everybody that's involved. The players and so on. I wonder how many millions of dollars they put the price tag of a game. That'd be information. Be interesting hearing.
Well, and there's so many fingers to that thread out when it comes to revenue in the NFL. You've got Sunday ticket. You've got the broadcast rights. You've got the streaming. I mean, you name it. There's money. Listen, they're not doing it if it's not making a ton of money.
NASCAR has not revealed the 2025 Cup schedule yet. It seems like typically they do it around the month of August or September. It seems like we've had it. It's been that way in past years. Right now, these are the races that have been revealed in one form or fashion. Daytona, February 16th, which we suspect that could be likely to change if the NFL incorporates this plan in 2025. The Coca-Cola 600, May 25th, Atlanta, June 28th, and the Chicago Street Race on July the 6th. Those are the only races. Oh, excuse me, one more, November 2nd, the championship race at Phoenix. But as of now, those are the only races that have been confirmed, and then with Daytona likely to change. And that November 2nd race date, that sounds awful early to end the season. I'll have to go back and look at the calendar, but that's at the obviously at the very beginning of the month.
Well, you and I have always listen. I wish NASCAR could shorten its season, and if there was a way to do that and still make the same money, I think it would behoove NASCAR to do that. But races equal money, equal broadcast, and we know that's just not going to happen. But yeah, it does sound kind of early.
Yeah,
but you know, I feel like NASCAR sometimes doesn't give us enough opportunity to miss it, you know. I mean, we do, and we're excited when the season comes along, but you know, we start, Sean, we crank this show up in February to get you ready for Daytona, and we're not done till Thanksgiving. I mean, that's a long, that is the longest regular season in all of pro sports.
Yeah. NASCAR is also having some conversations with Brazil. It is a possibility. They're still in discussion that they could be moving the NASCAR clash to Brazil. You know, the non-points race. We could see it in another country.
I'm cool with that. I feel like they haven't really found a good home for the clash. Mm-hmm. Why not? You know what? Basketball has become big overseas. We know racing in like F1 and some other forms is huge overseas. Might not be a bad idea.
I think it's ran its course at the Coliseum.
Yeah, we're good there.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
So if you were the guy in charge at NASCAR, where would you like to see the clash go to?
You know, I would like somewhere like Brazil, somewhere you could promote it. It needs to be something different.
What about Montreal?
Yeah, I mean, Canada's cool. It might be a little cold there for that time of the year when they do the clash.
Well, that is a good point.
But Mexico City, I don't know. I think there's lots of places. It could be, mm-hmm. you know, it could be the thing that goes to different countries every year. Like, ooh, what country are we doing the clash in? Now, that would honestly, for traveling, getting cars to places, that's probably not the cheapest on all the teams.
While you're thinking, think outside the box. I mean, who would have ever thought we would have put a race and a racetrack in the LA Coliseum? So that just goes to show you that the boundaries are very wide.
Well, so we both agree we don't need to see Bristol raced on dirt, right? Again.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It was cool, but it ran its course. I think it needs to be something like that. You know, Rockingham, do you go to some of these places that aren't used as much anymore? Is there some sort of, you know, does the NASCAR Cup champion, one of the cool things he gets to do is pick where he wants the clash? I mean, just something like that, mm-hmm. that just make it a little different. I don't know. There's way too much planning that goes into it for that to be viable, but I just think it needs to be something kind of fun.
Or maybe try to take it to a city like New Orleans, a city that we don't ever go to.
I think use it as a test. I mean, listen, you know, Chicago was a test, right? Mm-hmm. And it turned out great, and now we're probably going to race there all the time.
Yeah.
Use the clash as kind of a chance to, you know, see if you can get proof of concept someplace.
How would it be to run the streets of New Orleans? Or run the streets of Houston,
a city a little flatter. That
a city that we don't currently go to, but have it in a road course fashion, like what we have in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. Something cool that, you know, you're kind of the points. There won't be points because we're not sure if it's going to work. You know, one of those. And then if it does work, then that's just one more place you can possibly go later on.
Yeah. All right, it's time for us to take a break. When we come back, we will be talking with Alex Hayden from MRN Radio, the voice of NASCAR. We'll be talking to him and finding out what he's been doing in this Olympic vacation that NASCAR's been going on here the last, it'll be 2 weeks this week. And we'll find out from him where things lie with the charter system. We'll find out if he's aware of any new information as well as other topics. So we got that and more. As we continue, for Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
We'll be back quicker than Sean can drink another Monster Energy. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Are you into fitness, bodybuilding, or just want to live a healthy life?
Are you looking for a new show that's very entertaining and different?
Well, I've got the show for you. It's Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You. It's a podcast that achieves all of these goals.
Join professional bodybuilder Matt Davis, me, Darren Johnson, and Sean Whitfield.
You can find Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You, at all major podcast platforms. Also, check out our website, ChattanoogaFitnessDownload.com.
Are you looking to take control of your health and live your best life? Then this is the podcast for you. Join Josh Porter and Mandy Livingston as they share cutting-edge research, practical tips, and inspiring stories to help you optimize your physical, mental, and emotional health. From nutrition and exercise to hormone optimization, we cover it all. So tune in to Optimize Health and start empowering your health one episode at a time. You can find Optimize Health at your favorite podcast platforms or online at OptimizeHealthNow.com.
Vector.com. Vector Security can create you a home automation solution that will give you the convenience and peace of mind of being able to control your security system, lights, locks, video, thermostat, and more, all from your Vector Security app.
Vector Security provides professional alarm and security system monitoring to ensure your home is well protected against all threats.
Vector Security has 24/7 expert security monitoring, lifetime satisfaction guarantee, complete home automation, and is 100% wireless.
Choose Vector Security. Find them online at vectorsecurity.com.
NASCAR fans, listen up. NASCAR is a sport where testosterone is a must. Optimize You has got you covered. Join Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr Mondays at 6 p.m. for Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105.
At Silverdale Baptist Church, we exist to lead people into an authentic relationship with Christ so they will worship God, grow in their faith, and then serve the Lord. Learn more about us and discover a campus and service time that fits you best at SilverdaleBC.com.
Listen up, Chattanooga. We've got a radio show that's just for you.
On the Move Radio, presented by Medicare Misty on 98.1 The Lake, each Saturday morning at 9 a.m.
We're a radio show that's all about Chattanooga and the Tennessee Valley.
Join Sean Whitfield, Amy Morrow, and Barry Quarter as we discuss government, events, entertainment, lifestyle, and so much more.
For past shows, check out onthemoveradio.com.
A production of Whitfield Media Group.
This is the fastest hour in radio with Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 105, presented by Optimize You, as always. And NASCAR been on a two-week break, and yet they are going to return, Sean, coming up this Sunday, Richmond Raceway, the Cookout 400. So next show, when we come back Monday, we're going to have NASCAR to talk about. It won't just be you and I breaking down our favorite Olympic sports and how well we are, or how much we know about handball and three-on-three basketball and all these
obscure. We may still have to spend a few minutes talking about the Olympics.
That's very true. And you know what? We did win a gold in golf, and it was a very dramatic comeback that saw Scottie Scheffler, the world's number one golfer, storm back on the final nine and win a gold medal for his country.
Did you watch the golf in the Olympics?
I watched some of it, yeah. I actually got to golf, but I did watch some of the golf. It was very, very cool. And speaking of golf, Sean, let's bring on a friend of the program, our resident golf expert, also moonlights on MRN and talks NASCAR as well. Mr. Alex Hayden, welcome in, bud.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. I wish I could get paid. There's a reason why I pay to play golf and don't get paid to play golf, but I wish that could be reversed someday.
But you know, and I'm like you, you're probably way better than me, but once you play golf, you realize how hard golf is. And then to see these guys that do get paid to do it and to go out and shoot a 62, I think he had a 39 on the final nine, to win the gold medal at a very tough golf course, I don't know that people realize just how ridiculously hard that is.
I agree 100%. And there's so much to it, because when you think about what these guys are doing, not just going for gold in the Olympics, but any golf tournament, let alone a major, to be able to stand on a tee with thousands of people staring at you, watching you, there's nerves that come into that. I've played in some pro-ams. I'm a first tee announcer at some PGA Tour events, and playing in some pro-ams with some folks around, it's daunting. It really is. These guys, you can hit good tee shots. I think where these pros really earn their money and separate themselves from the average golfer is their approach shots. They hit it within 10 or 12 feet almost every single time, where a lot of amateurs like myself, we're going to possibly put them on the green more times than not, but we're going to be 30 to 40 feet away, or we're going to just miss the green short, miss it right, miss it left, or miss it long. But those guys, they have just absolutely pitched darts from 150 yards out.
Yeah, it's otherworldly. All right, well, that's all we needed, Alex. Just wanted to talk golf. We appreciate you.
Hey, Alex, I'm not a golfer at all. I suck at it. However, I do have some fairly nice golf clubs. But what does a typical golf game score look like for you?
I'm a 6 handicap. Ooh, so somewhere in the neighborhood of, 77, 78, somewhere in that neighborhood. But it just depends. As you guys know, even the best in the world can be great and then have bad days. John Rahm had a 4-shot lead for the gold medal with 8 holes to play and ended up looking like me, putting a couple of holes and chunking shots. And to me, that's kind of the thing about it. It's nice to see that happen every now and then. I don't wish that on anybody, but to see somebody like John Rahm, one of the best in the world, do the things that I do on the golf course makes you feel a little bit better about yourself and your game.
Yeah. It's the only time I can say I can do that.
yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
Alex, the difference in your golf game keeping score in Casey's is his pencil has an eraser. and I bet yours doesn't.
But best thing I got in the bag.
No, because what I write down may not necessarily be what I actually got. So I don't need the eraser. It's just a matter of what I choose to put down.
Oh, goodness.
No. That's the beauty of golf. And for people who are real serious golfers, it is a game of honor. And if you have a bad hole and a bad score, you put it down. And like anything else in life, you go get them on the next hole. And put it behind you, because I can't. If I 3-putt and make bogey on a par 5, then you know what? That's it. I can't change that. Let's go to the next hole and see if I can do better.
Yeah, Alex, I know you're traveling almost week in and week out at times with the NASCAR circus and your friends and talking to a lot of these drivers. We were talking earlier how we had a couple of drivers that got married. A couple that we're aware of went to the beach. Kyle Busch ended up in Italy. Do you think that most of the drivers went on vacation far off somewhere, or do you think we had some drivers that were, say, running back at the back of the field in the point standings, and they decided that, hey, we need to come back, we need to stay here and just focus on trying to get our game face on and do better these final 4 races before we head to the playoffs?
You know, I think it's a mixed bag. I really do. There are drivers that absolutely went on vacation, get away, recharge. And you mentioned Kyle Busch going to Italy with his wife and kids and his in-laws, who are from Italy, by the way. To me, it's like, yeah, he's had an awful season at this point. So to your point, should he and the team stick around and head down and grind? Well, sometimes you just need to get away.
Yeah.
And just kind of sit back, come back, and just refocus and clear your mind. So I think it's a mixed bag. You mentioned two that got married. Tyler Reddick, he and his longtime girlfriend got married. And, of course, Daniel Suarez got married down in Brazil. Married a PK, and that's a familiar name to a lot of people, the great Nelson PK, Formula One world champion, his daughter. So, I mean, it's great. It's good to see guys doing different things out there. But I'm kind of like you. I mean, I think everybody needed a break, but there are teams out there that were really hot before the Olympic break. And this is a tough one, because while it's nice to sit back and get a nice vacation, teams that had a lot of momentum going, are they going to be able to sustain that? Are they going to be able to come back from the break with that momentum? And on the flip side of that coin, the teams who are struggling going into the break, maybe this is just what the doctor ordered, and they can reset the batteries, if you will, and go after them here in this charge to the playoffs.
And some of these teams may look back at this 2-week break once we get back to a normal NASCAR schedule and go, you know what? This was a good thing. This was a good thing for our organization. It was a good thing for us to recharge. And we'd like for NASCAR to consider this in the future. So we could see and hear some of that.
Maybe. I don't think it's a bad thing, because our schedule, the world of NASCAR Cup Series racing, is a long schedule when it comes to the calendar. Think about it. We start at the very first of February, sometimes the last weekend in January with the Clash, depending on how the calendar falls, and go until the second to third week of November, and nearly every week. So it is a grind, and it's not like stick and ball sports where half the Tennessee Titans schedule is played at home in Nashville, and they're only on the road half of their schedule. NASCAR, the PGA Tour is like this. We don't have home games, so you have to travel all the time. So it would not offend me to have a break. And it doesn't have to be a two-week break. You can just have 1 full week off in the middle of the season, and that would be plenty for everybody to take 5 to 6 days and get away. It wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, but, you know, we're very fortunate to be in the line of work that we are as a sport, whether you're a driver, a crew member, a broadcaster. It doesn't matter. We're not complaining, and I don't want fans to go, you guys are living the dream. You have dream jobs. Believe me, I understand that. I do not take that for granted, because once we wrap up the season in November, we do have December and most all of January off. So there is some downtime that comes along with it. So it's not a complaining issue. It's just a matter of, like anybody else, I wouldn't mind going back to Key West for another week.
You know what? And listen, it's fun to, or I shouldn't say fun, it's easy to poke at NASCAR for some of the decisions they make. But if you look at the schedule, and especially this 2 week break, how it, you know, tip of the cap to them. We just had 2 week break, like we were discussing, for the Olympics. We come back to Richmond, Michigan, Daytona, and Darlington, four great tracks, four very different tracks, and all for a lot of these guys to be able to race their way into the playoffs. You know, the playoffs are a round of four, and this is almost like the pre-round of four, where it's going to be a sprint for a lot of these guys. I'm looking at you, Kyle Busch, to do something to try to get their season back and to get into the playoffs. And then, like you said, you're going to look at a lot of teams that are going to see these four races as a chance to get the momentum back.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I don't know who this is going to favor. I mean, you look at guys like Ty Gibbs and Chris Buescher and Ross Chastain, especially Buescher and Chastain. Those are drivers that are top-level drivers and are barely hanging on to being in the playoffs. You get another Austin Cindric jump up there and pick up a win, or another Daniel Suarez. Cindric and Suarez, to me, are the big examples. They won races earlier this year to punch their way into the playoffs that are not in the top 16 in points. So you get somebody outside the top 16 to win another race here in the next four, suddenly Ross Chastain's out. If another one does it, Chris Buescher is out. And it is kind of one of those things you just kind of just think, wow, this is getting down to it. But guys like a Bubba Wallace or Chase Briscoe, Kyle Busch, those guys are on the outside looking in. Believe me, they want to be the ones that gets the win to get in. I go back to Chris Buescher, guys, and you look at what they've been able to do. 21 points ahead of the cut line right now. And they're not sleeping well over the next 4 weeks unless they get a win. But you go back to Kansas Speedway back in the month of May, the closest finish in the history of our sport, Chris Buescher was that far away from getting a win. Go even a step further back than that, at Darlington Raceway. Buescher was leading in the closing laps. If you recall, Tyler Reddick made a bonsai move, slid up and put them both in the wall in the closing laps. Chris Buescher even went and confronted Tyler Reddick on pit lane, and it wasn't a violent thing. It was a frustration thing, and he kept pointing at the sticker that Tyler Reddick had on the roof of his car, the win sticker. And he kept screaming at Tyler, I don't have one of these yet. So, you know, race smart. So Chris Buescher came two races from being in the playoffs with a win, and right now he's sitting 21 points out of play, or before he's being out of the playoffs. So to me, it's just remarkable how close Chris Buescher's been to getting to victory lane.
When you look in that Alex Hayden crystal ball and you think about these names that you just threw out there, Chris Buescher, you mentioned Ty Gibbs, Ross Chastain. When you mention those guys' name, have not won a race yet. Four races to go. Do you think we'll see another first-time winner? Or do you think we could see two new first-time winners? What's your gut feel?
Well, realistically, when you say first-time winner, are you saying first-time winner this season or first ever winner?
Yeah, no, this season.
Yeah, realistically, yeah, we can. Richmond, I don't expect it, nor do I expect it at Michigan. And the reason why I say that, Richmond is such a strategy race. Yeah, it's a three-quarter mile short track, but as you guys are well aware, we are running the option tire as well as the prime. So the teams are going to have the ability to play a strategy card and run a much faster tire on a short run, but the risk is it's going to give up a lot too, a lot quicker than the prime tire. And Richmond seems to have favored the Toyotas as of late, especially the Gibbs Toyotas. So like Truex and Hamlin and these guys, I expect to have something to say about it. Now, Truex could be the guy. No, he hasn't won as of this point in the season, but he's 112 points to the good. So I think Truex is in a great spot points-wise regardless, but I think Truex can jump up and be the guy who can win Richmond. But he's going to have to beat his teammate, Denny Hamlin. Hamlin's the guy I think's the guy to beat at Richmond. When you look at Michigan, to me, it's all about horsepower. And those Roush Yates engines and the Fords have been really strong this summer. I would look for Team Penske to be those types of guys. That could be a Chris Buescher race because he is a Ford guy. But to me, you look at Logano and Blaney and the way those guys have raced this year. Those guys have got the horsepower, big, wide, sweeping track. I would look for them to be favorites. And then it comes Daytona and Darlington. Daytona easily is a wild card. Anybody can win that thing and really throw a wrench into the playoff structure. And then Darlington is an interesting one because there's a guy well outside the playoff cut line who is very good at Darlington, has won there multiple times, and his name is Eric Jones. I think Eric Jones could be a guy with the cutoff race being at Darlington Raceway in the Cookout Southern 500, the last race of the regular season. As good as Eric Jones is at that racetrack, if we get some long runs over that 500 miles, Eric Jones could be a guy that could win that race. And very realistically could win that race. So to me, Daytona and Darlington are the two big ones that I think we could have first-time winners this year.
Yeah. Alex, all very well said. I want to shift gears for just a moment. I always enjoy talking the business side of the sport with you, and I was curious, have you heard any updates on where things sit right now with NASCAR and the team owners as far as the upcoming charter?
Yeah, they're... Without going too far into details, because I am not 100% on the details, nor should I be, but I am aware of some things. From what I understand, they have been exceptionally close to having a deal complete. However, all team owners that have the charters have to be unanimous on it. Say, okay, yeah, I'm good with this. I'll sign off on it. Next owner, I'm good with it. I'll sign off on it. From what I understand, all but one team owner has been fine with what NASCAR has proposed. From what I understand, there is one team owner out there that is kind of being the one that's saying no. And I think NASCAR is getting to a point, they're getting a little bit frustrated. And I think they feel like, you know how negotiations go, side A feels like they've been more than fair and more than and generous and willing to give you a bigger piece of the pie, whereas side B says, you know what, that you have been, I'm okay with that, but not everybody is. So I think we're close. We just got to make sure it's unanimous, and that can be a lot more difficult to do given the fact that different owners have different personalities. And you got to think about it, we've got some owners like a Rick Hendrick, a Joe Gibbs, a Roger Penske, who have been around this sport a long, long time, Richard Childress. They have made a huge living in this sport being car owners, and I think they are the ones that may be good with it. Then you have some of the newer blood owners, the guys like Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan, or guys at Trackhouse and Justin Marks and that group, maybe even a Brad Keselowski, Roush Fenway Keselowski, some of these younger owners that don't necessarily have that padded bank account like some of the much older owners do. So to me, it's a matter of making sure the newer owner understands the long term and doesn't get too caught up in the immediate short term. I want more and I want it right now mentality. So I think we're very close on it. And I think it'll get done within the next month, maybe a little bit sooner.
Yeah. And NASCAR has been very clear and very firm that whatever the deal is, it will be a 7-year deal, since that goes coincide with the TV contract. Is that correct?
Yes. And I can't blame NASCAR for that, because much like all the sports out there, the TV money really dictates a lot of things.
Yeah.
And NASCAR is especially on that. The television money is a huge part of the purse and the payout, big part of the championship points fund. It's where the tracks make a bulk of their money. I mean, it's TV money, and it's huge. And that's why, like it or not, the television networks have more say-so in what time these races start. So there's a lot of leeway that goes in there. So, yeah, I think it's smart on NASCAR's point. Why would you make something a permanent deal, charter a permanent deal, when you don't have any idea what the numbers are going to be in 8 years from now, let alone 10 to 15 years from now? So to me, it's a smart business thing on NASCAR's side of it. We know what the numbers are for the next 7 years. Here's what we're willing to do. And I think that's smart. Yeah. And I think greed is beginning to come into play on this.
Alex, we always appreciate your perspective. You always sort of set the record straight, and we certainly appreciate that. For those that want to keep up with you in social media, how shall they do that?
Most everything is at the Alex Hayden, and I appreciate that. You know, I always appreciate you guys having me on the show. You guys have a racing talk show that is far different than anything else I've ever been a part of, because you're fair about things and you give legitimate, well thought out opinions on things. And I appreciate that. That does not go unnoticed. You guys do an outstanding job, and your listeners and all the race fans in your area are exceptionally fortunate to have you guys.
Well, Alex, we certainly appreciate the kind words. Matter of fact, this might even turn into a promo. It was so well said, don't you think, Casey?
I like print it, play it.
and
but
last,
it's easy,
Alex,
to tell the truth.
And last, Alex, people can hear you this weekend. MRN Radio's covering the race at Richmond.
Yes, sir. We've got the Truck Series race on Saturday and the NASCAR Cup Series race Sunday afternoon. It's going to be a great one.
All right, that sounds great, Alex. Thank you so much for your time, sir, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much, guys.
You're very welcome. All right, it is time for us to take a break. When we come back, we will get into a little bit of news in the world of NASCAR, that and more as we continue. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Hey, Chattanooga, Josh Porter here for Optimize You, Chattanooga's number one clinic for both men and women's hormone replacement. Are you suffering from fatigue, low libido, or just not feeling yourself? We are the answer you have been looking for. My team and I are here to help you become yourself again. So find us online at OptimizeYouCenters.com.
Hi, I'm Sean Whitfield.
And I'm Blake Watson. Join us every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for your home radio on 98.1 The Lake.
Featuring a variety of topics, all related to your home.
A production of Whitfield Media Group.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shonafin Road and I-75.
NASCAR is cranking up, and Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr will get you right in the middle of it. Tune in Mondays at 6 p.m. for Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105, a production of Whitfield Media Group.
Every child deserves a chance for a healthy, happy life. But when pediatric cancer strikes, it leaves a lasting impact on not only the diagnosed child, but their parents and siblings too. The Austin Hatcher Foundation for Pediatric Cancer is here to erase the effects of childhood cancer and empower families to thrive during and after a cancer journey. Through a variety of support programs such as grief groups, counseling services, art and music therapy, and more, we provide comprehensive, no-cost services and care to children and their families. Join us in making a difference. Visit HatcherFoundation.org to learn more and get involved.
Buckle up and hang on with Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield, Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 105, presented by Optimized You. Sean Whitfield and I, each and every Monday at 6 o'clock, getting you up to speed on all the NASCAR you need to know. And there hasn't been really any racing NASCAR you need to know, just the good old what's everybody been up to and what do we think's going to happen type of you need to know stuff. But all of that stops coming Sunday. We're having racing on the track. We're going to Richmond for the Go Camping 400. I'm sorry, the Cookout 400. I believe there was a Go Camping race earlier. So NASCAR,
there has been somewhere
very
in the
into the outdoors. Go Camping, Cookout, Hangout, whatever. The sour cream dips and chips. That was my favorite. Michigan International Speedway after that. Daytona on August 24th. And the final race of the regular season, September 1st at Darlington. So four more races before the playoff begins.
Let's go back into the NASCAR time capsule a little bit. And do you remember a driver 10 years ago by the name of Juan Pablo Montoya?
Juan Pablo Montoya. Yes, of course, Sean. He got one race win, almost got another, but kind of screwed up. I believe that was at the Brickyard.
He is just announced with 2311. They announced this past Friday he'll be driving the number 50 at Watkins Glen coming up September the 15th. And that race will be on USA to Network. This will come 5 days before the day he turns 49 years old. So with that said, do you think he's too old to be back in a cup car?
You probably do, because you are always telling people they need to retire when they get above a certain age.
No, not everybody.
He can go mix it up. He's Juan Pablo Montoya. Now, listen, you make fun of my gray beard. Have you seen a picture of JPM lately?
I have not.
Okay, well, see, there you go. He's got a little gray, but it looks very distinguished.
Huh. I have not seen that. I'll have to check that out. NASCAR is uncertain what the future is of the Netflix documentary. Last year, they did it starting at the beginning of the playoffs. You might remember. Did you ever watch the NASCAR Full Speed documentary on Netflix?
I did not.
What is your problem? I thought you would have already watched that by now.
So I don't watch. Listen, I watch TV with my daughter, and so I can tell you lots about different kids shows and different weird shows like that, but I can't tell you much about.
Well, you should watch it sometime. NASCAR, and I did not know this until today, NASCAR paid Netflix to produce that documentary.
Oh.
$5 million.
Well, that's not, and you know what? That's couch cushion money.
It isn't a lot of money for NASCAR. However, I did not know that NASCAR paid Netflix.
You'd like for it to be the other way around, where Netflix comes to NASCAR.
Normally, NASCAR's got their hand out in most every situation when it comes to television rights and that kind of thing. So, nevertheless, it is anticipated that they will be doing this partnership with Netflix, but it is uncertain of when it is actually going to take place. The Sports Business Journal is also reporting, while some of the teams have considered not participating in the documentary, if a deal isn't done by the playoffs, others disputed that they would hold out, and if possible, the sides could still find a resolution before the playoffs begin to allow the docuseries to happen. So what that's referring to is the charter agreement. So apparently some of the teams are saying we're not going to do it if, in fact, we don't have a deal yet.
Yeah.
But that remains to be seen. It's just like Alex just shared with us. It's speculated that it could all be done here in the next month.
Which I was a little surprised to hear that, because it seems like they'd been so far apart. But these things always happen that way. You get right down to it. And you know, that's this Netflix show is just another bargaining chip.
I would love, and I'm glad to hear that NASCAR is wanting to continue this partnership with Netflix. I think this was a huge shot in the arm for the sport. I had conversations with numerous people that weren't regular viewers of NASCAR or perhaps hadn't followed NASCAR at all and watched either all of the series or watched a portion of the series.
How much of it did you watch?
I watched every bit of it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You have Netflix?
Well, my wife does.
I was going to say, you know how to work that?
Yeah, I look at my wife's account. I mean, I very seldom ever look at Netflix.
Oh, boy.
Most of the time, when the television's on, it's going to be on news or sports.
News or Olympic volleyball.
Well, just sports in general. I keep up, you know, I try to keep up with a lot of the different sports out there, but you can find it on Fox News most of the time. Or if I want to laugh and hear what some of the other ones are saying, I'll tune in to CNN. So it just depends on the day.
You are the right age for Fox News.
Do I meet that demo?
Yeah, you're right there.
But I hope this takes place. I think it's going to be good for the sport. I truly believe that NASCAR's got some big, big media things in the plans. They spent $50 million on their broadcast facility. So, or their media facility.
It's time to put it to work now.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. But anyway, I'm just really excited. You know, continue to go on, go USA. We continue to win lots of medals. Yeah, keep pulling for our country. But it'll be really nice to see NASCAR racing back on the track this Sunday.
All right, Casey, I think that's going to about do it for us. As you said, we'll be headed to Richmond this weekend. And that's going to be a race under the lights, isn't it?
6 o'clock Sunday.
6 o'clock Sunday. Hopefully that'll be good for the TV ratings.
I think so. People may be, you know, a little burned out on Olympics. I want to see some cars go fast, perhaps.
Yeah, it'll be. And by the way, I want to just share, and I've shared this a couple of weeks ago. Coming up on August the 31st is the debut of College Football Radio, presented by Medicare Misty here on Rock 105. It'll also be broadcasted on our sister station 103.7 Kiss FM. So that is Saturday, August 31st, 9 a.m. on both stations. You can listen to College Football Radio presented by Medicare Misty. And it is SEC football at its best. Nothing but SEC. No Oklahoma State.
I won't be tuning in.
Because nobody wants to hear about Oklahoma State. So just saying. Just thought I'd share that. Does that make your day?
You know what? Don't call me next time you need help with one of your shows.
All right. In that case, it is time for us to come to a close. We want to thank all of you out there for joining us and making us a part of your day. Don't forget to join us again right here next Monday at 6 p.m. on Rock 105. And again, we are presented to you by Optimize You, and you can find them online at OptimizeYouChattanooga.com. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield, and thank you for listening.
This has been the fastest hour in radio. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105, your home for NASCAR. Join Casey Orr and Sean Woodfield each Monday at 6 p.m. on Rock 105. Check out our website and for past shows, racingtalkradio.com. This has been a production of the Whitfield Media Group.